This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one college basketball last night in Houston. The Jayhawks fell to the Houston Cougars 65-59. It was actually close throughout the entire game. Kansas, once again, just turning the ball over. Brutal to watch on offense. They dropped to 19-11 on the season. Joe Lenardi, after the game, said he still believes they're going to be a 6 or 7 seed. He was asked by Scott Van Pelt, like, hey, this is more like an 8 or 9 seed team. And Lenardi believes they're still a step or two above those teams. But we'll see what the final week or so of the college basketball brings in terms of their seeding, and whether or not the committee tries to do a made-for-TV type of seeding, because having Kansas play a number one seed would still be the primetime game on that opening round of their second weekend of the second game of the first weekend, I should say, of the NCAA tournament. Like, do you think the committee would say, oh, Kansas is brand, we'd rather have them as an 8 seed just from a, hey, we get to have them play a number one seed in the second game?
Maybe. I mean, I don't rule it out, but also it's not like under-seeding them to put them in an 8, considering they're 1-8. I think Sam McDowell put out 1-8 in their last 9 games against teams in the top 49 of KenPom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just based on what Lenardi said. I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's not out of the question, certainly. They had a chance to win that game and they turned the ball over 20 times.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shoot. And we can talk about them later because I'm sorry, is there a single player on that like knows that you shoot the basketball in the hoop? Coit, maybe, and Hunter Dickinson.
He's got to play more.
Coit's and then outside of that,
Mayo played a lot better yesterday.
He could shoot.
No, he was.
He looks like he's afraid to shoot. The whole team looks like they got the yips to shoot the ball.
Yeah, it's weird.
KJ Adams too. He had like 5 chances to shoot that he didn't shoot.
Even in a loss, it's weird. Like, because of how still the turnovers. Because it was against the number 3 team in the country, I actually feel better about their chances to not be one and done in the tournament because of last night. And you're like, why? They lost gold. They had 20 turnovers. Because that was against the number 3 team in the country, and there was maybe some hope with David Coit. That's the only reason why.
Yeah. Next up on What's Trending, Yankees starting pitcher Luis Gill, will be shut down for at least six weeks with a high-grade lat strain. Boone announced yesterday. He obviously was the rookie of the year. Shut down feeling discomfort from his bullpen session last Friday. Out 6 weeks. That's a tough one for the New York Yankees in the early going. But if it's only 6 weeks, they'll probably be okay. But he was the rookie of the year last year.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, you guys remember there was that report late last week that, oh, Hard Knocks couldn't find an NFL team, so they're going to do Hard Knocks college football with North Carolina. Not the case. North Carolina and Hard Knocks not going to happen after all the deal fell through, according to Front Office Sports and others. It sounds like in the same report that cameras were already on campus. They were excited about it, all this kind of stuff, and then it got squashed. I think one insider was kind of insinuating that NFL owners, remember, it was NFL Films does Hard Knocks, so NFL owners were not happy that they were going to do a college team. And that's what
none of you agree. What do you want me to do?
Like, how is it?
No NFL teams wanted to do it. Exactly.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
You don't get to complain if you don't agree to do it.
Yeah. That's what I think as well. But that's reportedly one of the reasons, because it wasn't that the North Carolina like got out. They were excited. Sounds like to have them on campus, according to Front Office Sports.
So. When you pay Bill Belichick that kind of money, you cannot buy that level of publicity. I'm sure North Carolina was all about it. Next up on What's Trending, LeBron James is 1 point shy of being the first NBA player to reach 50,000 points. Play tonight at home against the Pelicans. He's averaging 25 points a game, so it's not a problem. He's 40. He's ridiculous. 40. He's averaging like 25-8-8 or 25-8-6 or whatever.
Better numbers than he was 13 years ago when he signed with the Heat.
And won MVP or whatever.
Could he play to 50?
No.
Could he play to 45?
No. Could? Yes. Will he?
I think he's got 2 years left. I think he's going to play till 40 or through 42.
He's playing at an incredibly high level considering his age.
No doubt.
Every night there's still some like lob dunk he's doing where he's like jumping from 50, the rafters. 1,000
points. That's happening 50K. Tonight. That's happening tonight against the Pelicans. Next up, you guys heard it earlier today during Fesco and Dusty. Vern's got a roundtable at Hollywood Casino coming up later on this month. It'll be the day after opening day. All of us from 96.5 The Fan are going to be there. More importantly, part of that roundtable with Vern, Michael Massey, and Kyle Isbell. It'll be at Hollywood Casino Friday, March 28th, 6 o'clock, plus a meet and greet after. It's going to be free, open to all listeners. So hope to see you guys out there. We'll tell you more about it as it gets closer. But that's going to be a really cool event, especially it'll be the day after, hopefully a win on opening day, feeling good about Massey and Isbell. And you know Vern will have plenty of good discussions with them, and we'll just be hanging out.
Lastly on What's Trending, second event, but, you know, we're still trending. Friday, Kelly's, 6:30. We've continued to say it. We did well in the ratings. They gave us money. We want to give that money back to you in the form of a tab, a $1,000 tab to be specific, at Kelly's at 6:30. We'll see you out there. I did say one thing, and I keep forgetting to mention it. Bring some cash to tip, okay? Pony up $1,000, just throw a little tip money. I got some tip money planned, too, but, you know, like, it'd be nice if we all tip our bartenders and make sure that we're being taken care of. We'll got those rounds on us at Kelly's Friday at 6:30.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, we will check in with our guy, Josh Vern. You're out in Arizona. We'll talk more about the announcement today with the roundtable event, Q&A,
going on
at Hollywood and Hollywood Casino, that is. And we'll also get his perspective a little bit more on just even that Adam Duvall reports, what Vern makes
Duvall.
Forever. I'm sorry, the rest of my life, anybody that has the last name Duvall or talks about Duvall County, which is what they were in Jacksonville discussing, that's all I'm going to think about is Liam Cohen.
Duvall.
That's it.
Duvall.
Let's talk about Salvador Perez, though. And
not
of course,
Duvall.
No, let's talk about Salvi and those chants that we'll hear at some point during this 2025 season at Kauffman Stadium and where he's at in his career. He's coming off an unbelievable year. He was a silver slugger. But we all know, right? Father Time eventually will catch up. You hope it's not this year. You hope it's not next year. Trying to figure out how much longer is Salvador Perez playing in this league and playing for the Royals. Maybe those are two different questions, because the only comp that I could look at in recent history was Yadier Molina, who played when he was 39 years old. And maybe you could argue based on his stats that year, it was 1 year too many, but he was still productive at age 38. And looking at Salvador Perez, we all know Hall of Fame case gets stronger and stronger. The more playoff appearances he has, obviously the last year was a huge boost with the Silver Slugger Award win and everything like that. They already had him playing a few games less because of Freddie Fermin at catcher. And I think that'll continue to trend. How much longer do you think Salvi has? Because I look at Yadi, he played till he's 39. Why, assuming health, why can't Salvi play till he's 37, 38, and maybe even 39? Like I think he's very similar that he could do that exact same thing.
It's not out of the question. And I guess more importantly, he definitely seems like the kind of person who would want to do that. You and I both know athletes who are like not trying to play to whatever, 40 years old, 38, you're 35, right? Guys get out of the league a lot sooner, depending on the level of player and whether you want to do it. My whole thing is like, so part of this is like, how many more years do I think they got? How many more years of high level play do I think they got? And is his entire career still going to be in Kansas City? Signing that last deal made it far more likely that his entire career was going to be in Kansas City. But if you and I both think, and we do, that he's playing at least three more seasons at a big league level, he's only under contract for two. Then there's an option year, which they could, you know, then they can like, bring him back or do this or do that and kind of make those decisions. But like the way you look at it, and a lot of it is, I think his chance of being like in the big leagues for that many years, no question, someone will sign him. You run into a problem with, does he finish his career here if the production ever takes a slip? Catcher is the single best position of depth in the entire organization. They have guys. I'm not saying they have guys as good as Salvi. He might be a future Hall of Famer. But Salvador Perez is only under full contract through the end of this year. You know that, right? Then next year, it is an option year. The Royals would have to pick up a $13.5 million option. Now, let's be honest. They've been paying him $20 each the last 2 years. If he plays anywhere close to the level he played last year, they're going to pick up that option very quick.
Wow, that's where it's, I think there would have to
be an extension. Really bad year.
More than even picking up the option, the question is, would there be a small extension involved if you still play at a high level, more than just doing the option?
And then you just say, how many more years do you want to do this, man?
And we know for his Hall of Fame case, this applies to Salvi as much as it does for the Royals, too, but Salvador Perez, part of his Hall of Fame case and a benefit he has is if you can say, and I think writers, the voters, weigh this, did he play his entire career with one team? It's big for Yachty. I think it's big for Salvi as well. If you're even a fringe guy, I think it's so rare in today's sport now that you play 15 plus years, let's call it, with one franchise. And yeah, that helps your case.
Well, I agree. And I think Salvador Perez maybe deep down knows that, but also we know how close they were to trading him. They sat him down in the office and they asked him if he wanted to be traded. He had made it seem like he was okay with and would have accepted being traded from the Royals at that time. And then they all got in a room and they talked out the possibility of, no, I actually like the path you're on. I like the direction you're on, and we're going to make this thing work. Let's try to make it work a little bit longer. And it did. They made the playoffs, and Salvador Perez had a great year, and he'll have even more lineup protection this year because Indio will be hitting at the top. So more guys to protect guys like Salvador Perez. And I think last year he only caught, in the last 2 years, he's only caught in the 90s for games. But 2 years ago, he got hurt for a chunk of time or he would have caught more. Because that's the other question. How much longer gold will he catch? How much longer will he? Because I think part of his time and relative to play time is probably relative to the fact that, can he continue to catch? Because I think he wants to do that as a part of his career, and he's continued to want to do that. He's missed time, so he's caught less game, and Freddie Freeman has caught more. But, like, at some point, and I hate to say this, but, like, when Caglione comes up, it creates this problem where, like, Caglione and Vinny can be on the same roster together. I kind of hope they are on the roster together. I think they will be. But, like, you need more DH innings because then someone can go from right and first and DH, and they can float. Vinny and Jack and Salvi can float. But the second Salvi needs more of those DH innings and less of those catcher innings, it becomes kind of like a problem with
it. It does. I just think so much of that, let's fast forward 2 years from now, a lot of this, I think, sorts itself out. Unfortunately, there's either a drop-off in play from anybody involved in this conversation. One of the guys isn't even in the big leagues yet. The other part is, where's the organization out? Are they 2 years from now still competing for a division, or is it are they dropping back down? And that makes it easier to either move on from somebody or trade away. Hey, if they're still competing for the division, but now we're talking about trying to go get to the World Series and take that next step even more so, does that mean they're willing to trade one of those catching prospects that you're referencing that makes them very deep? Is that something they would have to pass? Hell, this year, there's at least a small chance that if things are going well,
Blake Mitchell or somebody else, you'd be having to get a good prospect back.
It depends on what
player back. But
that requires them being very much at the top of the AL Central and needing one little. If they're like at the top of the Central, they need one more bat, or they're down a pitcher all of a sudden for the rest of the year. Will they be willing to do that? I think that can change this entire situation too. But Yadier Molina is the comp, in my opinion, for at least the longevity. In the last 15 years.
And the offensive-minded, and he caught till the end. He didn't switch positions like Joe Mauer. He didn't switch positions. Like, I can list you way more catchers that switch positions.
Sure.
Than stayed at catcher in their late 30s. No. Like, that's just not common and not the case. Salvi feels like the rare case, though. It seems like he's just going to be behind the dish forever.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk about the franchise tag deadline. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We already know that the Chiefs are going to be placing that tag officially on Trey Smith. But there's a quarterback that may not have the tag placed on him. We'll get into that. Plus, Josh Fern, you're going to join us. We'll talk about Salvi's longevity coming up with him as well. But we know, as we look ahead to the draft a little bit, like, locally, this is not a name that's going to factor in. Maybe he ends up in the division, I guess, but not factor in for the Chiefs roster. I'm talking about Travis Hunter. Going to be one of the top picks.
I asked Matt Miller about him because he's a super intriguing guy.
Sure, and maybe he could end up in Las Vegas, so it might be someone that we see a lot. Hopefully not, because I think Travis Hunter is a heck of a player. But where does he play? Is he only playing corner? Is he only playing wide receiver? Lindsay Rhodes was on the Zach Gelb Show, which is on our Infinity Sports Network, part of the Odyssey family, and she was talking about how there's some NFL owners that are going to be trying to force, maybe via ownership, Travis Hunter on one side or the other.
Everyone thinks he's a better corner. At least that seems to be consensus, right? When you talk to people, they like rate him out. He's a very good wide receiver. But I think that from talking to people, my sense was that they thought like really good corners are harder to find than like where he would fit into the wide receiver landscape. And so he could provide a team with more value at that position. Charles Davis, who works for NFL Network and CBS and will be on the draft desk for NFL Network, made, I think, a very interesting point, which is that ownership tends to get involved at this time of year. And the people who score touchdowns sell tickets and are exciting. And so maybe that kind of tilts him to a team viewing him in that way. I think if you do a split, it's probably more, it makes more sense to have him play primarily corner and then go out for a couple of packages as a wide receiver. It's hard for me to view the opposite happening. If you can sell him as a two-way player, and this is the thing that makes him generational, and like if an owner feels like they can sell tickets on that, and then there's pressure to use him in that way, I think that that also leads me to corner with a smattering of wide receiver, because you also need it to work.
That seems to be the consensus thought, that he's playing way more corner in the NFL, and it's way easier to have him play corner and design special packages for wide receiver versus play wide receiver and then we're going to have like a defensive package for you. That doesn't make as much sense.
Why not just let him be a full two-way player?
I think it's the challenge
to do it.
Yeah, I think it's the challenge of that's what makes you generational, right? If that's the case. And I think this, much as everybody made about the snap count in college, doing that in an NFL game against the best in the world, 17 games.
Yeah.
Now, look, maybe he can do that the first year or two of his career. I don't know. Like, but you can't do that your whole career. I just think it's too challenging to play those kind of snaps at that level. It's one thing to do it in the Big 12 in Colorado or when you're playing North Dakota State early on in the year. Yeah. I don't think you can do that. And my guess is that's part of the NFL, like, consensus thought on it must just be that they don't believe he can play those kind of snaps at this level.
I mean, but why not find out? Like, I'm sure there, you know, for the longest time in baseball, they stopped believing someone could play two ways like Shohei.
Right.
And I'm not just saying that because Travis Hunter said what he's doing is harder than Shohei Ohtani, which you and I don't agree with, but that's fine. It's just, yeah, very few players will ever be given an opportunity or should be given an opportunity to do both at a full-time level. He did both at a full-time level in college. Why not find out? And we all agree. In college, he played Power 4 conference football and was like a 1,300-yard, 10-touchdown receiver, and then played, not, they don't call it, what's the version of All-Pro? I mean, Heisman.
All-American.
All-American corner to go with it. So why not find out? Imagine for this. This might be the single greatest draft pick you ever make. You get a full-time, for one pick, you can get a full-time wide receiver and a full-time corner. I feel like I'd take the chance.
They're just flat out saying that he's not that, though. Like, I hear you. I just don't think they believe his body can hold up doing that. And you're saying, like, why not find out? I guess it's held up
so far.
Yeah, the question is, like, find out what's not finding out? That he gets hurt? Like, how do you find out if the injuries begin,
then you can limit the other position. Yeah. You know?
That's risky, though.
Like, if Shohei Ohtani keeps getting an arm injury, he can just hit.
Yeah, we're talking about a top five pick. Like, you can end up, you know, truly screwing up somebody's career. I think the swing
is the other side. What if you're right? And
sure,
he can play both.
I think corner, and then let's say, especially if he goes to the right place, you know, who knows who ends up drafting him. But are we talking about a package where he plays 15 snaps on offense, or are we talking about he plays five? You know, I don't know. Like, what's that? If it's 15 snaps, I think he can have a huge impact on the game still offensively. You know, I'm not just saying do jet sweeps with Travis Hunter. You know, I'm actually talking about some routes.
Yeah, he knows how to run a route. You don't have to just do like gimmicky nonsense.
What about the part where she said that was Lindsay Rhodes talking to Zach Gelb on the Zach Gelb show, where she mentioned, hey, NFL owners, they want to sell some tickets. Could there be an owner? And the only owner I can think of, Jerry Jones would be the owner. We're like, no, I'm telling you, he's playing offense.
He'd have to move up to get him.
It would have to be like Jerry Jones would do that. You know, would a Mark Davis in Las Vegas, because I think the Raiders might end up drafting him.
Oh, yeah.
Would a Mark Davis be like, hey, we're in Vegas, entertainment capital of the world. He's playing offense, Pete.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that. Honestly, a pretty fun way to do it. And again, some of this is about selling tickets. Like, if you're in Jacksonville or Vegas, Vegas doesn't have trouble selling tickets right now.
Travis Hunter feels like such a Jacksonville pick, doesn't it? Like,
not that any.
I saw Jordan Reed came out with one for ESPN, and he has him going to the Patriots. I don't think Robert Kraft is letting him.
I mean, Travis Hunter with Drake May, and you signed Cooper Kupp in the offseason, and all of a sudden Drake May has Cooper Kupp and Travis Hunter has a special package. Yeah. I mean,
Him and Christian Gonzalez?
Yeah. I don't hate that.
It's a good combo. It's a good fit, I'd say that. Not that we're surprised by this, but it's official. Davante Adams has been cut.
There you go.
By the New York Jets. They'll save $29 million, have an $8 million dead cap hit, and he'll be a free agent come next Monday during the legal tampering period. He'll probably be one of the first people off the board. I'll warn you already. One of the teams rumored to have interest in him is the Chargers.
Yeah.
Let him have another weapon for Los Angeles.
It's, you know, he's still a very talented receiver. I don't want to say it's not an impact. I just, at this point, he's no longer like, oh my gosh, top 10 wide receiver. I don't believe he's that anymore. He's a top 25 receiver still though in the league. So it's a huge addition. Same teams, New England. I would have said the Commanders before the Debo trade, but New England, Washington, Buffalo, Chargers. Those are all teams that should be very interested. I don't have any interest in him coming here.
Oh, and Kansas City?
Price-wise.
I guess I'm not even like, it's weird. Like, I don't even feel like that's part of the conversation in a lot of ways because I don't disagree with you. I don't think it makes, I don't think he's a fit here. I still think Davante Adams is a very talented player. I still think he can put up some really good numbers. I think he was completely hamstrung by a miserable quarterback situation this year in New York. So the year before, he put up like 1,300 yards. He's great still, I think.
Ari Mirov on Twitter just posted the screenshot. 140 days ago, October 15th, it's on the Pat McAfee show, 3-box screen. In the middle, it's Aaron Rodgers with a little smirk on his face. In the background, it's Davante Adams saying, I'm here. And everyone's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that turned out to be absolutely nothing for everybody involved in that.
Yeah, they got
at the time, weren't they also not they got playing sent good anyways? Back.
Yeah, they were already screwed at that point.
It wasn't even a net zero out of the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams. The Jets also said they'll let Alan Lazard seek a trade because, you know, he came across in the Aaron Rodgers stuff just like everyone else. I mean, it makes sense, but also, like, if he goes to the Chargers, that's the only one where I'm like, ooh, I don't love that because I still think Davante Adams got more juice than you do. So, like, I still think he's got some real juice and, you know, like, him and Herbert, I'm like, that's coming. And Ladd, like, Davante Adams, Ladd McConkey, and Justin Herbert, that sounds, and Harbaugh got that defense back to so much more respectability. That sounds like a dangerous team to me.
No,
so
he's like, 32. I'm not saying he's going to have 500 yards or something, I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
How much would Davante Adams cost compared to DK Metcalf?
I don't know what the – does SpotTrack have a projection? That's a good question. I don't even know.
Because I think compared to DK, because obviously the Chiefs are in on DK. I mean
– maybe.
You don't have to give up a pick to get Devontae. You have to extend DK Metcalf. If you're interested in DK Metcalf, why wouldn't you be interested in Davante Adams?
I would be because I don't have to give him the draft pick.
He's 3 years old, 4 years old.
But the truth is, I'm not interested in either. Like,
I still think Davante Adams is better than –
I do too.
DK Metcalf is a fine wide receiver, but Davante Adams is better than he is.
I would agree with that. I would agree. Is it going to take a multi-year deal to pull off? I'm out. You know, at 32 years old, I don't want to give him a 2 or 3 year deal. If it's a 1 year deal, we've discussed this before. 1 year deals, it's hard to complain about any 1 year deal in the NFL for the most part. I was trying to look on SpotTrack if they had a projection for him. I'm sure they'll tweet one out here, Mike Gennetti over there, because I would be really interested.
$30 million a year, probably. Like it or not, even though he's 31 years old,
so out on that.
It's probably
DK. Certainly not that much.
Million.
Obviously,
are you sure?
But
how much is DK Metcalf?
Are you sure? Top wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Look at the average.
Jamar Chase is going to get 40, dude. Like I don't think it's crazy that Devontae's getting 30.
DK, what do we say? DK was 20. Like he was
29.
He's not getting paid $30 million.
He's getting paid between 25 and 30, I'd guess. I don't think it's any lower than 25.
T. Higgins might get paid 30.
T is nowhere close to what Davante Adams was.
No, I'm talking about DK.
They're about the same. Why is T better than DK? I mean, other than age now, why has T Higgins' career been better than DK Metcalf's? They're both like 1,000-yard guys.
Davante Adams has had 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and he was 3 yards away from making it 7 straight, actually.
DK?
Davante Adams.
Yeah, no, but he's the better of the three.
Trying to see what his contract projection was. Look, I think the reason why we bring up the Chargers, the Bills, the Patriots, the Commanders, these are all teams with a ton of cap space. So that for them, $30 million a year, yeah, they can pull that off. Like the Commanders have a rookie quarterback. That's why they were able to trade for Debo. The New England Patriots have a rookie quarterback. They need wide receiver
I assume
help.
They'll call him Davante Adams too if they can convince
the Commanders. The Commanders make the most sense because they're ready to win now. Even if the guy's 30, just bring him in.
I just wonder if they do that again. I mean, if they're going to trade for Myles Garrett, I don't think they can also sign Davante Adams and already pay Debo, but maybe that'd be a hell of an offseason. If you told me the Commanders traded for Debo, traded for Myles Garrett and signed Devontae Adams, oh, I mean, they're going to be everybody's sexy pick to go to the Super Bowl next year.
Most likely. You know? We'll see which way they go with it. We come back. Should we give away some free Z-Man?
Yeah, let's give away a free Z-Man. Obviously, you guys heard the news earlier today. Joe's KC going to be at Kauffman Stadium beginning opening day. So you'll be able to get a Z-Man sandwich while watching Bobby Wood Jr. play baseball. That sounds like a pretty darn good combination.
Sounds like a nice
We'll give
day.
Away a Z-Man for the rest of the year. Coming up next, plus we'll check in with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll talk with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. We'll talk about the roundtable event that's going on at Hollywood Casino later on this month. Just announced that earlier today. Q&A roundtable, Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, all going to be part of that. Nice meet and greet afterwards. Plus, we'll all be there hanging out. It's Friday, March 20th. 28. That's the day after opening day. 6 o'clock start time at Hollywood Casino. But we teased it before the break.
Yeah, let's give away. So earlier today, Joe's Kansas City Popeye, which we obviously appreciate, and some members of the Royals, and they said, hey, there's going to be Joe's KC over in right field this year. You guys should probably know that. We're like, yes, that sounds great. They dropped off sandwiches for us, but they also gave me this card gold, and it said free Z-Man for a year. And then it had one a week.
Oh, yeah.
For every week of the entire year of free Z-Man, and we said, hey, you know, we'll give it away later in the show. So we'll make it pretty simple. Caller number 10 to 913-586-7965. Just as long as you can. Do we want to make them guess anything? We'll just do caller number 10. I'll be nice today. 913-586-7965 can get free Z-Mans for a year. Then I got to actually get this to the person in promotion so we don't, like, I don't, like, lose this.
Yep.
Feels like I might lose this otherwise, right?
Yeah, do not throw that away accidentally.
Just keep track of that. Accidentally throw it away into my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. What happened? I mean, no, I'll make sure that the person who wins it actually gets it.
Z-Man's out at Kauffman Stadium beginning on opening
day. How'd
that
Z-Man treat you earlier?
I mean, I'm full.
Eat the whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some extra onion rings I had.
Oh.
Yeah, we put some out there.
Plucked a couple of extra onion rings off the top.
Rob grabbed one. There was one extra sandwich out there. He's like, you guys eating this? I go, what? We don't need to have multiple ones in the middle of the show. Otherwise, we're going to be like burping the entire show belching. So
I asked the guy from Joe's because we were joking about doing the 999 challenge, right? The nine beers, nine.
Yeah,
I bet
Sam loved
nine
that.
Innings.
Yeah.
And then he said the most he'd ever seen someone eat is two.
Oh, it's a lot of food, man.
He like works very happy at Joe's. He's like, two is the most I've seen. That's it. So either way. Hope you enjoy your
good
free
luck.
Z-Mans for you, whoever.
Congrats!
Oh, we got a winner.
Yep, we do. Steve.
Steve.
That sounds made up. Drew's gonna just keep it for himself.
Steve, where?
Her name's
Steve
anybody?
From where?
Steve.
Steve from where? Drew.
From where? From I don't know actually. 816 area code is all.
Well, that doesn't really narrow it down.
It does not.
Steve from the 816.
Congrats to Steve. There you go. We'll also get to the random question of the day in the 1 o'clock hour. But I want to talk about the franchise tag deadline a little bit in the NFL. So that's again 3 o'clock this afternoon. We know Trey Smith is going to have the tag officially placed and everything like that, but that's just the deadline to have it take place. And out of Minnesota, the latest is the expectation now that Sam Darnold will not be tagged. We all know what he did last year. We all know they also a year ago drafted J.J. McCarthy. And no matter what happened, even before the J.J. McCarthy injury, Sam Darnold was going to be the week one starter. Well, then McCarthy gets hurt, and it was clear that Darnold was starting the rest of the season no matter what. He also played great until the last two games.
He would have never lost the job for whatever it's worth. Right. If he just continued to play that way and J.J. McCarthy was healthy, he would have never lost the job, but yeah.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter's reporting that Minnesota is still interested in working to re-sign Darnold, but he's going to hit the open market. That's the expectation. That changes everything. I mean, if I'm the Vikings, now that I'm not tagging him and there's no possibility of a trade and the only deal I can do with him is clearly going to be multiple years, well, then he's done. Like, I would not bring Sam Darnold back on a multi-year deal if I'm Minnesota. I was interested in, hey, I'll pay you on a tag 1 year or I'll trade you and we'll hold off. Now you might as well just go full go with J.J. McCarthy. And that means it's open season for all the teams, the Giants and Raiders that missed out on a trade for Matthew Stafford.
And he now have a qualified
player. And he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, so I get it. But if I'm the Raiders, I'm very interested in Sam Darnold. That, to me, is who they should go after. I don't believe with where they're picking that they can get a quarterback unless they trade up. So, to me, I'm drafting maybe a Travis Hunter type, but I'm also acquiring Sam Darnold, and I have Travis Hunter with Brock Bowers and Sam Darnold, and I roll with that next year. And I know in Kansas City, we're like, oh, I'm not scared of that. That's not the point. It's just Pete Carroll, I think, was brought in for 3 to 4 years of being stable, not in a laughing stock anymore. That's what Pete Carroll was brought in to be.
Yeah, and Sam Darnold prevents you from being a laughing stock this year. And Sam Darnold is the perfect, and I do mean perfect bridge quarterback. You can both, in my opinion, Gold, sign Sam Darnold and draft Shedeur Sanders. You can do those things in connection with each other. It actually makes a lot of sense. Sam Darnold, you signed to a two-year deal. One is pretty much guaranteed. He starts, and then if it goes real haywire and Sam Darnold turns back into a pumpkin, hello, Shedeur, and after a year, you turn it over to Shedeur again. And this sucks for Sam Darnold a little bit.
I think he's going to get two years guaranteed. It'll be like a three-year deal, but I think in order to get him, you're going to, because it'll be competition, I think he's going to be able to get two, you know, essentially fully guaranteed years out of the
How
three.
How old is he? Because that's part of it for me. Is he still
27, man? That's it.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I would think that the most,
he'll be 28 before the year starts.
I would think that the most likely landing spots are either the Giants or the Steelers, in my opinion.
You don't think the Raiders are in on them, huh?
I mean, I just feel like in their perspective, they're picking high enough in the draft. I wouldn't be there. So are the Giants. Giants would be in the Cam Ward business, certainly. I just feel like where the Raiders are picking and their want, and like, I get your point, like their want to be relevant immediately and how getting Sam Darnold kind of does that. I don't know. I'm not ruling it out by any means, but I don't think he's a Viking. And I also don't understand the people who are being really critical. Like, I can't believe they're letting 4,000 yards and 33 touchdowns go. This is the plan all along. I'm sorry.
They drafted JJ McCarthy.
And look, and if Sam Darnold got on to win the Super Bowl or balled out in the postseason or won that final game against the Lions and then pushed him into an NFC championship game, this conversation might be different. He might very well be tagged today. They're, you know, like he might already have been tagged and they would be slow walking the rest of this. They spent a high first round pick on JJ McCarthy with the intent of let's get through 1 year of Sam Darnold. It went way better than they probably predicted. And then we'll turn things over to the Rook. And so the plan is working, in my opinion, and you'll still get some thing back in the comp pick formula, depending on what Sam Darnold signs on the open market. Not a lot. That's the only thing that you and I were a little surprised by, that they wouldn't just like tag and trade him. But I pointed out to you, it is, I don't think it's hard to underestimate. There have been so few, it's like 10 tag and trades in the last like 20 years. It's something we discuss more than it actually happens. It's like a thing where like, but you could do it, but it happens so infrequently, you actually shouldn't like put it on the table very often. Because more often than not, if you're tagging a guy, he's playing for you.
Yeah, this would have been the year, though, just because of the weird circumstance of like you had the backup coming that looked good and you drafted the guy the year before. But I'm with you that if you're not going to tag him, I don't see why you'd bring him back on a two-year deal or a three-year deal if you're Minnesota. So he's going to end up either in, you know, the Giants, the Raiders, the Steelers, I guess. Hell, if you're the Steelers, when you've rolled out, you know, Kenny Pickett recently, last year was Russell Wilson / Justin Fields, like Sam Darnold might be the best quarterback Mike Tomlin's had since the heyday of Big Ben before he was a statue the final year in that final playoff game against Kansas City that he played in. Like Sam Darnold could be that. It sounds silly to say the name, but based on his performance, might be the best quarterback Mike Tomlin's had in 7 years.
Not better than last year of Rodgers, I'd bet.
Or Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Or Roethlisberger, yeah. Better than last year of Roethlisberger.
I mean,
better than anybody's had since
Rodgers,
then.
Rodgers, I guess, could still end up in Pittsburgh, too. So, but Sam Darnold being out there.
Is he going to take that headache on?
I think he could handle it, though. You know what I mean? Like, he could get in control. Like, he's not going to let you come in and run over him.
I think the only way that Aaron Rodgers has success next year is if he goes to a coach who just give him no leeway. That's why the Giants, in my opinion, are a horrible fit. Dable will do anything to save his job, which means he'll let Aaron Rodgers run over him every single second, Gold. And if he doesn't go to a coach that, like, let's say McVay before they had brought in Stafford back, or in the previous one you'd mentioned with the Steelers with Tomlin, like, he needs a coach who it's like, in the building, I'm the man. And every single person in this building knows it, not you, Aaron. You're here to play quarterback for the Steelers, not mess around. I did see the report earlier today from one of the national NFL guys that said it is still more likely that Justin Fields is the starter there than Russell Wilson. And so,
yeah, I think they're done with Russ. If we're playing musical chairs here, Russ could also end up in
Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. He could end up out there and Rodgers or Fields
right
or Darnold. And that's fine. Yeah.
Time.
Fine. That works.
I don't care.
Pete Carroll will bring some stability and they won't be embarrassing, but I don't think Pete Carroll's elevating them to being a true contender, but maybe they're right in the conversation of still being a team that can, you know, can beat you any given week. You're just not, you know, putting them in the same categories as where some of these top teams or anything like that are in the AFC. We're going to talk some more football in the 1 o'clock hour today. We'll get back to that. But I want to talk spring training baseball, our spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. We go out there and welcome in Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He's got his hot stove show coming up on Friday or on Thursday night. And we announced on Friday, March 28th, Vern, you've got a Q&A roundtable out at Hollywood Casino.
Yeah, looking forward to having a chance to sit down with not just Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell, but hopefully thousands of Royals fans to recap game one, hopefully a game one victory for the boys in blue, and share the stories of what's going on inside the clubhouse, the outlook for 2025, and really introduce these guys that you just watch on the TV here in snippets. After the game, you guys know Kyle Isbell, Michael Massey, just as good men as they are ball players. So it should be a great time.
How many Z-mans for you this year, Vern? We had the folks from Joe's drop off the Z-mans because they're going to have those out in right field. I know you're up in the press box, but like over under 10.5?
Well, do we have the price? I'm sorry to be this guy.
Yes, we do. You get the Z-man with an with a side of onion rings for $20, if I heard them correctly.
Under.
Too steep for you, huh?
Yeah, a touch. Since, you know, I'm eating throughout the game, so the price for the press box meal really is unlimited, and that's a lot cheaper. Oh. So
but it's not a Z-Man,
stick it out up there.
That's no Z-Man.
True, but still, if I have nine, that's still quite a bit, and we're hitting
81 home games, once every, 10 games, you get 8 games, you get down there, get one. I told Alex it was more like 3.5, 4.5, I thought it was probably more in that range. You pop down there when you're want a Z-Man, and I'm going to go get it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to, because I would imagine other, when the out-of-towners, right, the beat writers from Detroit and Cleveland and every single freaking city that comes through, everyone's going to have at least one because it's going to be recommended by everybody else in the press. But I might hit the over, actually. I don't know.
I think you'll have more than you think, because let's say you're a fan and you make it out to four or five games. They might have it 2-3 times. Their ratio is going to be way higher than yours.
All right, let me just be honest. If I can get a deal, I've made a lot of good relationships around that stadium. I'm really hoping it pays off.
There you go.
That I think we could possibly work out. We were talking about Salvi earlier, mostly from can he maintain this level of play, Vern? But if he can, how long does that mean he's in Kansas City? So Salvi's still got 3-4. How many years left do you think for Salvi? And is there any concern that his play is going to fall?
Well, it'll eventually fall. Because Tom Brady, LeBron, that's about it. I think Salvi certainly has another 3 years, I would say, in Kansas City. But I don't think he finishes his career in Kansas City. He jokes that he wants to play until he's 45. I don't know how much of a... He says it with a smile and a wink. I think he's playing coy, though. I think he really wants to play until he's 45. I think general managers will allow him to play until he's about 39, 40, depending on if he wants to, bounce between, AAA and the big leagues at the tail end. And he loves the game. I talk about it all the time. I can't praise him enough. It's wild to see him continuously being the loudest, the most energetic, the guy that seems to be having the most fun. He strikes me as the Brett Favre type, where you're going to have to tear that freaking jersey off of him, and he's going to go kicking and screaming. I'll tell you this. You would think this year it should be easier to give him more DH time. We talked about yesterday just how well Freddie Fermin's playing. The guy was up for a Gold Glove. He has earned some extra time behind the dish. Salvi has been cognizant of what it's going to take to get into the Hall of Fame for quite a while. I really think it's organizationally that they think about it. When Q's having a conversation about Salvi DH-ing, playing first base, catcher, when they're making that decision, I do think the thought of am I hurting his Hall of Fame chances? Bounces around in those coaches' discussions of how we're mapping out the week. Now, obviously not to the detriment of the team, because Salvi's play is warranted a start a day. But if we start to see those offensive numbers slip, it's going to be very difficult. Top to bottom, you know, from John Sherman to J.J. Piccolo to Matt Quatrero and all the coaches around him, it's going to be tough to remove the other C from Salvador Perez's chest. He's always the captain, but is he the obvious catcher day in and day out? When that conversation starts to happen, I think that's maybe when he starts to have wandering eyes. We all know the love that he has and the appreciation that he has for this organization, but he loves the game more. I think he'll reach enough numbers, the 300 home runs. The baseball reference page already speaks for itself. I think he'll be a Hall of Famer when his Royals career ends. But I don't think his appetite for competition and the opportunity to play the game that he loves, I don't think that craving will be completely satiated by then.
Yeah, I looked at Yadier Molina, and he played till he was 39. And at 39, that season wasn't all that impressive. He probably should have stopped when he was 38. But that's kind of where I'm putting Salvi. 38, 39 range, that's to me the benchmark. I think he plays at least till then.
Yeah, another 4 years, right? He turns 35 coming up in a few months. If the over under is does he play when he's 40? I'll say yes. Does he play when he's 41? I'll say no.
Vern, what stood out more to you in the game yesterday? Obviously, spring training games, we've got to be careful with the lessons they teach. But was it more impactful that Sam Long got rocked or that Daniel Lynch looked so good?
Well, rocked in that Josh Jung hit a 108-mile-per-hour line drive right back at his head. It first hit his throwing hand, his left hand, but it did carry him off of his noggin, so we'll get an update tomorrow on that. That, to me, would be the big story if it is something long-term where Long's going to start the season on the IL, because we were just talking yesterday about this bullpen maybe being the strength of this team, maybe being good enough to offset the 180 quality innings you're losing from Brady Singer. But your point about Daniel Lynch is correct. Very efficient yesterday, very confident, but also a very carefree Daniel Lynch. Being a part of a winner last year, even though it was coming out of the bullpen, he was always someone that, understandably, had big goals, a lot of desire, maybe struggled at times with confidence, but he knew, you know, I'm a big leaguer. He knew I'm a starter. And like a lot of Royals pitchers that went through that Matheny-Eldred era, you know, started to build up a little bit of a wall of mistrust at times. I think that's been completely broken down now. The confidence is still there, but I think there's a touch bit more selflessness and humility there with Daniel Lynch. It'll be interesting to see how they handle him moving forward. He got up to three innings yesterday, again pitched very efficiently. Do they give him that fourth inning? Do they continue to stretch him out, or do they keep him around, you know, 40, 50 pitches? Likely won't have that answer for another 2 weeks, as he's still in this competition with Chris Bubich for the five spot. But, you know, the tea leaves continue to point towards Lynch being in the bullpen or Omaha stretched out as the first one called up if and when is needed, because Chris Bubich has looked every bit as good as Lynch. But, yeah, great point, Cody. He did impress the coaching staff yesterday. But I still think he's in that sixth spot in a five-man race.
Who would get Sam Long's spot if there's any kind of long-term effect from the injury?
Yeah, I think, I don't want to be negative about this guy because I am, but he's earned it. Carlos Hernandez is a guy that's out of options. I think injuries could help him stay in the organization as inventory. But again, like we talked about yesterday, if Alec Marsh is right by the end of camp, I would much rather see Alec Marsh's arm in the bullpen alongside of Daniel Lynch rather than Carlos Hernandez. But you guys have heard it countless times for a number of years. This part of the season, when you're in a market like Kansas City, you do value depth and inventory and options. So that could be a saving grace for Carlos Hernandez, who, with all due respect, he's had an outstanding he's been in the big leagues for a while, and that's kudos to him, but yeah, I'm not interested in seeing that anymore. I've fell in love with him. He broke my heart way too many times. It's just him and I are so done.
Other than, I guess, Wilson out there for glove day and trying on some new cool gloves for Bobby Witt Jr., what else has stood out from him in the last 24, 48 hours?
Man, this is corny. A lot like how I feel about Salvador Perez. But I just feel like it's my duty to express to people that everything you think Salvi is, he is. It's not just God-given. The guy's been the hardest worker for a dozen years. Yeah, I got to do something similar for Bobby Witt Jr. It's always amazing to me. And throughout these spring training games, I'm looking elsewhere. I'm looking at how invested a guy is in the dugout, in his teammates. I'm watching the hustle that they put in these inane workouts that they've been doing since they're six minor leaguers in little league and whatnot. Those are the things I'm looking for in spring training. That's why I'm so impressed with Salvi. Bobby Witt Jr., when in the dugout, it doesn't matter what happened, who scored, what the score of the game is, what inning it is, who's paying attention, if there's any. If a run is scored by the Kansas City Royals by some 18-year-old Bobby Witt Jr., runs to the front of the dugout, gets to the top step, and he is always the first person to welcome fill-in-the-blank Royals player to the dugout. And then a great moment yesterday, Salvi hits a hard ground ball to the shortstop, and he's hustling down the first baseline. Not 100%, but I wouldn't want Salvi going 100% right now. The shortstop overthrows the first baseman, and Salvi rounds first because he has to and goes to second to take the extra bag, take the extra 90 feet on the errant throw. Bobby Witt Jr., knowing that Salvi's about to be removed from the game, gets to the top step on the other side of the dugout with a water for Salvador Perez because that's the longest he's seen Salvi run all spring. So a big grin on his face. And, the Bobby Witt Jr. that picked up the Samad Taylor game-winning ball in center field and ran in like the little kid from the dugout, he's the same guy even after a runner-up finish for the AL MVP. We got two of the best in Kansas City, and like you guys were talking about earlier, let's pray there isn't a work stoppage because that could rob you of the final year of Salvi and the prime of Bobby Witt Jr.
I'd be so pissed at baseball for doing that.
Real quick, everybody would. Real quick before I let you go, do you think it's pretty much inevitable though that some games are getting missed in 2026 or after?
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, that sucks.
Definitely.
All right, Vern, appreciate it, man. We'll check in tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. That's Josh Vernier, Royals insider. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, that's Vern, who's locked in with the sport. He's like,
everyone just accepts it. Like, yep, sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some time till we got to be miserable with that. But in the meantime, obviously a lot of exciting stuff going on, including Vern's got his station event, 96.5 The Fan, his roundtable with Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell, hanging out there March 28th. That's a Friday night, 6 o'clock at Hollywood Casino. It's a day after opening day. It's going to be, I think we're going to have a huge turnout for that. It's going to be a ton of fun.
I think it's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to it. We'll continue to remind you about that, so keep an eye out for any more details that might change. But yeah, the event's going to be awesome, by all means. He had said in there that him and Carlos Hernandez are done. I did want to give you guys, I only got the smallest of updates from Desmond and his love life.
Oh.
It's been, 2 weeks since Valentine's Day?
The 14th or
whatever. But about a week and a half since kids exchanged Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond was ripping his backpack open yesterday. On his way inside, wouldn't cross the street from the bus.
He was excited, to open it
up. So excited, because his lady friend made him a Valentine on paper. So I'm going to guess that this is not a store-bought Valentine, as in she made one specific for him. It said, "I love you, Desmond." It then had a drawing of a caricature of what appeared to be a person winking, making a kissy face. That's the best.
Wow.
So we have not slowed these two down at all. Even though the teachers
cards are fine as long as they're not doing the other.
It was a hand-drawn piece of paper that she had cut into a heart. Some work into it.
That's better than what got him in trouble, I guess is what I'm saying.
If you're drawing it at the paper, we're okay. Because now the teacher's on to him. He's got to be, you know, it's time to...
The fact that he did...
We got to cool things off, and they're not cooling things off.
The fact that he opened his backpack up immediately when he saw you to show you, that's great.
He was very happy
to show it. Coming up next, reminder, our spring training coverage, by the way, on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. We're going to get to the random question of the day, and thinking of the Royals, there was apparently a name they were interested in, but... wanted a few more bucks. We'll tell you who that was and why. It's a good thing that they did not sign him yet.